This is the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President, Tony Perkins.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Coming up, hiding in the light. Runaway convert Rivka Berry is here to talk about her dangerous journey from Islam to Christianity. You won't want to miss her fascinating story. And a disturbing report from the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. Despite the federal law requiring the United States to place a priority on religious freedom in our foreign policy, religious freedom is being ignored. What can be done? New Jersey Congressman Chris Smith is here with more. You're listening to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Let me encourage you to check out our website, tonyperkins.com. You can find out more about today's topics. You can find out more about our guest. You can also sign up for our legislative alerts that let you know what's going on here in Washington, D.C. as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom, and what you can do to defend those essential freedoms. Again, that website, tonyperkins.com. Runaway convert Rivka Berry, the Columbus, Ohio teen who fled her home in fear of an honor killing due to her conversion from Islam to Christianity, has penned a book, Hiding in the Light, Why I Risked Everything to Leave Islam and Follow Jesus. In her reasoning for writing the book, Rivka has said, quote, words have the power to change lives and touch hearts in an extremely unique way. In the Islamic culture, women do not have a voice. My goal in writing this book is for my pen to be my voice, end quote. We don't do a whole lot of book interviews on this program, but I tell you, after following Rivka back when this whole ordeal unfolded and reading her book, listening to her testimony, I had to share this with you. And joining me now to highlight this new book, Hiding in the Light, Why I Risked Everything to Leave Islam and Follow Jesus, is Rivka Berry. Rivka, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much, Tony.
Well, Rivka, our listeners, it's been a number of years, and I'm sure many of our listeners are not familiar with your story. Give us an overview of what led to you writing this book.
That's right. Yes, in 2009, my story went international, and a lot of articles were written, and I was not able to talk about it because there was a gag order. And then when the gag order lifted, when I turned 18, I really was traumatized by the events, and I couldn't talk. And it's been 5-6 years later, and I feel like there's a greater sense of healing in my heart and that I'm at a place to share it. So my story really is about my fight for freedom. I was born in a strict Muslim home and grew up completely dedicated to Islam. I would spend hours and hours reading the Quran. I would spend hours in the mosque studying my culture and my faith. And yet there was something missing. And as I searched out this mystery in Jesus, my family had a real issue with that, and they didn't know about it. And at age 12, I was invited to church by a friend of mine, and I hid my faith from my family and decided to move forward in searching out who Jesus is.
So at what point, then, did you actually accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes, yeah, so I was 12 years old, and when my friend asked me to go to church, I remember before she asked me, months prior, I had cried out to God. I said, God, if you are real, show me who you are, and I will follow you. And I was a broken little girl. I was suicidal at age 12. I remember thinking, you know, this is what life has to offer. I don't want it. And when she invited me to church, I was so hopeful that this could potentially be an answer to my prayer. And so I went to this church meeting, and I heard worship, and I experienced the love of God in such a way where it left me completely changed.
And I just want to underscore that, because you are not the only one that I have spoken to who was in the Islamic world, who was invited by a friend to attend a church service, had the encounter with Jesus Christ. And so underscoring that is as Christians, how we need to reach out in our communities to those who are of a different faith. Now, what were you taught about Christians in your home? Were you told to kind of stay away from them, or was there really not much said?
Yeah, I was really taught that Christians were devils. That was literally what my parents told me. I was just taught that I was to stay away from it, and it was not even, I didn't even have the option of considering anything else. And Christianity specifically, there was something about it that my parents really were repulsed by, and I didn't understand it. I just knew that it was forbidden to be even looked at.
And so you had to hide this from your parents, right?
I did for about 4 years. I did, and I would have code words when my friends would call me, and I couldn't talk about, just say the word Bible or Jesus, so the letter would be the Bible, and I would stay up in the middle of the night, hours late into the night when my parents would be asleep. I would read the Bible in the bathroom or just find any way possible to be feeding my soul with the Word of God and to be able to pray and worship.
So at a certain point, your parents actually found out about your faith, your commitment to Christ. What happened?
That's right. Yeah, it didn't turn out as well as I would have liked. It turned out pretty awful. My family discovered my secret. There were, certain books that they would find throughout the years that I would push away and just trying to lead them astray and say, no, it's just a school project. But it got to the point where I could not hide anymore. And it really became climactic when my mosque got involved. I had come home from school, and my mom grabbed my backpack and rummaged through it, searching for a Bible. And she couldn't find it, and she spit at me and said, our phone is ringing off the hook. The mosque has called and said, either we deal with you, we take care of you, or they will.
Well, what did they mean by that?
From what I took from that was that my life was in danger, that I would not be alive. And this relates to something called Sharia law, which in the Islamic faith, if a man is to leave Islamic faith, you are to be killed. And so I felt that to be as my life was in danger.
But now we're told that that doesn't happen in the Islamic faith, that it's a religion of peace, and I mean, this doesn't sound like something that is peaceful when you're talking about
that's right.
Making a choice and possibly losing your life for making that choice.
That's right. Yes, it wasn't an option for me to simply look into another faith. Yes, the consequences were deathly.
Is this widespread? And I'm only want to focus here in the United States. I don't, we know what's happening in other countries, but here in the United States, is this commonplace?
I cannot say. I just know what I experienced, but I would not be surprised. And I wouldn't be surprised if stories like mine are not seen in the media, if girls are afraid of their family finding out. That would not surprise me at all.
So when you were confronted and you were told that either your parents were going to have to take care of this or the mosque was going to take care of this, you had to then flee and go into hiding.
I did. Initially, I was just going to stay and take whatever consequence came my way, and I was willing to give my life. I believed with all my heart. But God had another wonderful plan, and he brought into my life Beverly and Blake Lorenz, who had the courage to take in this stranger. And through a series of unbelievably divine circumstances, I was able to connect with these people and hide in their home for 2 weeks.
I'm talking with Rivka Berry. You're listening to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. She has a new book that is just out. It's her story, Hiding in the Light, Why I Risked Everything to Leave Islam and Follow Jesus. Now, how old were you, Rivka, when you left home?
I was 16 years old.
Now, at 17, you were diagnosed with cancer, so you may have some issues.
I was.
Tell our listeners about that ordeal that you went through.
Yeah, it was quite a surprise to me. I was about a month away from my graduating from high school, and I was sat by my caseworker, and she said, I had cancer. And we went to the physician, and she looked at me and said, I have less than 1 year to live, even with the best chemo treatment they have to offer. So it was two different types of cancers that were in my body.
And, well, walk us through that, because you're still here and you're healthy.
That's right. I am 22 years old, and I am cancer-free. I had a doctor's appointment last September where my physician looked through all the paperwork from 5 years ago, took off his glasses, stared in disbelief at the paperwork, and then at me and said, I have no explanation for why you're sitting in front of me other than it being a miracle.
Wow, what a powerful story. Rivka, I'm going to encourage people to pick up a copy of the book. In fact, I'm familiar with the book. I've endorsed it on the back. I think it's a great story. But let me ask you one final question, Rivka. You risked everything. You faced death. You were willing to die for your faith in Jesus Christ. You have not been able to reconcile with your parents because they're still in the Islamic faith, and we'll be praying that they too come to the light. What would you say to those out there, to Christians in America, who kind of take their faith lightly?
I would say that Jesus is far more beautiful and precious than we realize, and that that he is worth living for, and that, you know, there is a sense of when he comes with his love and reveals himself to us, how can we not give ourselves completely to Jesus Christ? And I just want to encourage those people that there is so much more to live for. There is so much joy and light and life in Jesus, and the things that we pursue in this world that are not of him or just lesser than, it cannot compare to Jesus himself, and that he is, that taste of his goodness, there is so much more in him.
Well said. Rivka Berry, thanks so much for being with us.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tony. It's an honor, truly. Thank you.
All right. Rivka Berry, new book, Hiding in the Light, Why I Risked Everything to Leave Islam and Follow Jesus. Powerful story. Powerful story of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ and of a young woman who chose to follow Jesus and leave everything else behind, and how God has been faithful to her. You want to get a copy of this, Rivka Berry, Hiding in the Light. To find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. All right, don't go away. We're coming back with more of this weekend edition of Washington Watch, a disturbing report from the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. Despite the fact the federal law says that the United States is to place a priority on religious freedom in our foreign policy, it's not happening. And as a result, Christians are being persecuted abroad. Congressman Chris Smith of New Jersey is here with the details. Don't go away. We're back with more of the weekend edition of Washington Watch right after this. On September the 25th through the 27th, plan to be at this year's Values Voter Summit in Washington, D.C. to stand alongside thousands of like-minded Americans who want to see our country return to the founding principles of faith, family, and freedom. Confirmed and invited speakers include Mike Huckabee, Rick Santorum, Senators Ted Cruz, Tim Scott, Marco Rubio, and Rand Paul, Governors Bobby Jindal, Scott Walker, Mary Fallon, Jeb Bush, and Sam Brownback. The Benham Brothers, Dr. Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, Bill O'Reilly, Mark Levin, Megyn Kelly, Oliver North, and more. Today's hottest topics will be addressed: religious liberty, life and marriage, national security, government overreach, and much more. Register for just $119 at valuesvotersummit.org. That's valuesvotersummit.org. This September, stand with us to preserve this great nation. Values Voter Summit is sponsored by FRC Action, AFA Action, American Values, Liberty Institute, Ohio Christian University, and Family Research Council. Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for joining us this weekend. Let me encourage you, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. You can find out more about today's guest, the topics. Also find out how you can get a copy of Rifka's book, Hiding in the Light. Also, a website that we've launched just recently, which is focused on religious liberty here at home, because there's a correlation. I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. There's correlation between the growing intolerance toward Christianity, the hostility here at home, and the persecution abroad. But the website is freetobelieve.com, and it has the stories of those who, here in this country, for standing for their faith, are being marginalized and attacked. You need to hear their stories. These are not isolated. Again, freetobelieve.com. Well, several weeks ago, the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom released its annual report on conditions of religious freedom around the globe, on what the U.S. has been doing about it and what we need to change in our approach. Now, there is no question the Obama administration has moved us away from the international religious freedom realm in terms of our defense of religious freedom. Now, the law, which was passed by Congress in 1998, says that religious freedom should be a priority in our foreign policy. But this recent report by the U.S. Commission on International Freedom says not happening. Joining me now to talk more about this and what can be done by Congress is the representative from the 4th Congressional District of the state of New Jersey, our good friend Chris Smith. Congressman Smith, welcome back to Washington.
Tony, thank you very much for having me on.
Well, let me first just get your response, your thoughts to the Religious Freedom Report.
Well, the report, as expected, doesn't pull any punches. It lays out clearly with documentation to back it all up which countries are or should be designated as countries of particular concern. The phrase that we enacted in 1998 as part of Frank Wolf's bill called the International Religious Freedom Act. The Clinton administration was against that bill. I held all the hearings on it and marked the bill up in my subcommittee. And the reasons why persist today in the Obama administration. They don't look at the plight of Christians in a way that shows any prioritization of the horrific ordeal they are experiencing. And again, having the twin non-governmental group, we have the State Department office, but we also have the non-governmental group, which is the commission, mm-hmm. To provide insight and guidance and expert recommendations for designations and for action has made all the difference in the world, even though there has been a lack of responsiveness on the Obama administration. So the report lays out in very disturbing detail how there's been a deterioration when it comes to religious freedom. And that's backed up, of course, by the Pew Research Center that says that governmental restrictions and violence targeting religious minorities are at a 7-year high. We are in free fall when it comes to religious freedom globally. We see it in the Middle East. We see it in China. We see it all over the world. And it's also become even more privatized with these groups like Boko Haram and others in Africa and, of course, in the Middle East. They're not state actors per se, but they are also very significant entities that are attacking Christians, beheading them, and just doing horrible things.
Congressman Smith, one of the findings in this report from the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom was that you made reference to the International Religious Freedom Act that was passed in 1998. It was intended that the ambassador at large for international religious freedom would be the highest ranking U.S. official on religious freedom abroad with direct access to the president and to the secretary of state. Now, that office remained vacant for quite some time. But even so, that it's now been filled, it remains a lower-level position that does not have direct access to the Secretary of the President.
Well, it's a very serious deficiency. You would think the President would want to hear from his ambassador at large on a regular basis when religious persecution is in such ascendancy. The new bill that I've introduced would make it absolutely clear that the ambassador at large would indeed have the ear of the president and the secretary of state in such a way that it would make a difference. I would also point out, and you began to go down that direction, during the Obama administration, we've had no one sitting in the position of ambassador at large for religious freedom for half of his presidency.
Right.
Which is clearly a revelation of priorities. They had no priority on this whatsoever. There is somebody there now. He's a good man, but no real focus. And my concern is that, just like at the U.S. Department of State Human Rights Bureau, other issues like promoting abortion and others are the agenda, not religious freedom. And what we thought we got in 1998, and that was robust training of Foreign Service officers and others, has not happened. Even where the president was supposed to designate on an annual basis countries of particular concern that could all be sanctioned, that didn't happen for most of the Obama presidency.
Right.
Talk about a dereliction of duty. He gets a failing grade. Plain and simple.
And you made reference to the message that this sends, the perception. You know, the government is sending the message that religious freedom is not a priority by issuing these indefinite waivers of penalties for those countries that violate religious freedom. Instead of dealing with them as the sanctions, as you talk about, they give these indefinite waivers. And that's telling the rest of the world, we don't care about religious freedom.
It absolutely has told the world that. It has told dictatorships like China. I have chaired 51 congressional hearings on China. My subcommittee is the Global Human Rights Subcommittee, and also I chair the China Commission. And we have seen Xi Jinping target faith communities, whether they be Christians, Muslims, Tibetan, Buddhists, Falun Gong, and even the churches that were recognized as, you know, part of by the government, which means that a great deal of censorship occurs within those congregations. They've targeted them as well. 400 churches at least had their crosses forcibly removed or torn down altogether in 2014. Remember, these are the churches that they said it's okay to operate, providing you do it by the rules that Beijing dictates. The underground churches have experienced a significant level of repression as well. And parenthetically, despite all of that, the faith continues to grow in leaps and bounds like the persecuted Christians of the first century.
You're listening to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks for coming along and being with us this weekend. My guest, Congressman Chris Smith of New Jersey, represents the 4th Congressional District. We're talking about a report released recently from the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom that shows the administration, as the congressman says, getting a failing grade for failing to uphold what is current law. Now, Congressman, just recently, well, a week ago, the president met with the Saudi crown prince in the Oval Office. And outside of this report, the president's own State Department, which keeps a list of the countries that repress religious freedom, are the most egregious. Saudi Arabia is at the top of the list. Iran, Cuba. And these are the very countries that this president is working deals and having relationships with. And I have to ask, has he told Congress whether or not religious freedom comes up in those conversations?
Not only does he not tell Congress, nor the press or anyone else, we know for a fact it doesn't. That human rights in general, religious freedom in particular, is not raised. Lists of religious prisoners are not tendered and given over to the offending government with the hope that they will be released. One of the things our new bill would require is the establishment, country by country, of religiously persecuted believers who are in prison, obviously, or being harassed in some way. And that's not being done. That should be a no-brainer. Who is it that's being tortured today in Saudi Arabia for their faith? It might be an indigenous Saudi Arabian, or it could be someone from the Philippines or any other country. Philippines has a very large presence of Christians in Saudi Arabia. And again, if you convert to Christianity in Saudi Arabia, as well as several other countries, you can be killed.
Right.
And you're certainly going to be incarcerated. And they have a group called the Matawa, the religious police. These people are brutal. Now, the president should be saying, look, we're working with you side by side, although he's certainly dropped the ball on that issue as well, militarily. These are universally recognized human rights of religious freedom. You're a CPC country. Penalize them. You know, start withholding visas to people who would like to come here from Saudi Arabia,
right?
Which he has the power to do.
Well, the law requires he does that.
And he doesn't do it.
No.
There is such a feckless, ineffective enforcement of the law as it relates to religious freedom, because it's of no interest to this man. I'm talking about President Obama. It is. I wish this wasn't the case. I'd rather be singing his praises than pointing out a very uncomfortable truth, but it is true.
Well, quite frankly, Congressman Smith, the indifference of this administration to religious freedom abroad is really not surprising, given their hostility toward religious freedom here at home. I mean, beheadings for your faith clearly are not the same as being forced to violate your beliefs through government policies or laws, but they spring from the same root of indifference.
Oh, that's a very good point. You know, the coercive power of the state is being used against faith communities, both on the life issue, those who refuse to go along with, you know, the Obamacare mandates, and we're seeing it also now increasingly on the marriage issue, and that potentially could get worse with the pending Supreme Court decision. So you're right. You know, Nafis Sadiq, the former head of the UN Population Fund, made a very telling statement a few years ago where she said that the final frontier that has to be overcome is religion.
Mm-hmm.
What she was talking about is that the culture of life and the culture of marriage is maintained. The bedrock of all of that is the faith. Christian faith, Judeo-Christian faith, even Muslim faith in terms of the family and life. And you have, you know, these elites, these secular humanists who are working overtime to break down that barrier or find progressive religious believers,
yeah,
so-called, for whom none of this really matters.
That's absolutely right.
Along with the liberal state.
And that's the same comments that Hillary Clinton made recently, that we have to change religious beliefs. Congressman Chris Smith, thanks so much for being with us,
Tony,
as always.
Thank you so very much, and thank you for your great work.
Well, I
deeply appreciate it.
Same to you. And I know that you'll continue to keep a close eye on these issues on Capitol Hill. Well, folks, we're out of time. I want to thank you for being with us. I do want to encourage you to go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. By the way, if you go to that website, you'll notice if you see me on TV that I'm wearing a lapel pin with an Arabic N. That's for Nazarene. This is what ISIS is putting on the homes of Christians in the Middle East to mark them for murder, to mark them either to convert or to pay an impoverishing tax. We're wearing them to show solidarity with our brothers and sisters in the Middle East. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, we're out of time for this weekend, but let me encourage you once again with the words of the Apostle Paul. When you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
The weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you've heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can help support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234.